had a momentous day for our church family today, and for multiple reasons, which I'm going to get to quickly. And I feel like my heart is kind of like jumping out of my throat, and my emotions are up in my throat. So I could get teary today. I've already been crying during worship, leaving space for God to just do what he does, right? So there's a couple different things happening. Some of you might catch it kind of like, whoa, what's going on? Walked in the door today and the first big exciting thing that's happening is today is Joy Amato's last Sunday with us. That's not the exciting part. It's not like, hey, Joy's going away. We couldn't wait for Joy to go away. No, that's not what's so exciting about it. What's so exciting is that we get to send Joy to, I'd say personally, to one of my favorite churches anywhere in the world, Hope Church in the London area. They have several locations in the London area, different little towns and cities that make up Greater London. And Joy is going to serve for a year with Hope Church. She'll be working with kids and working with worship, and they're going to stretch you. It's going to be really, really good. And so we get to pray and send Joy off to go serve Hope Church today. So there's really good days ahead for Joy. Today also marks the end of an era for us as a church family. We've gone through huge shifts and like seismic shifts for a small church. Seismic shifts. I really believe these shifts are of God. And there has been, you might go, oh man, I know our family, you might think our family's just been under like attack. We've been hit. We've been sick. We've been, true. But what the devil may be up to can never trump what God is up to. And we preach the sovereignty of God, and that is true in every situation, not just the great days where you go, yeah, God's sovereign, but also the difficult days when you go, this has been really hard. But God's always doing more than you can see. He's always doing more than you can imagine. And what we are doing is we're making a huge, huge move for us. And today is the last Sunday we're going to meet in this building. Like what? For lots of reasons. The place has been a blessing. The Lutherans here, New Vision Lutheran Church, has been a tremendous blessing to our church family. And we are not Lutherans. And yet the Lutherans have opened their doors to us and said, we love you guys. I mean, how many churches are going to give another church, like completely give another church a room in their building? That's pretty rare. It's one thing to come in and lease some space and say, yeah, you can come in on a Sunday night. But to say, you know what, we're going to completely give this space to you. This is yours in our building. They've been a huge blessing. But we've just really sensed that it's time to shift. And I wrote this down. There are some of us, as we're making a shift out of here, some of you might go, okay, what is that going to look like? And I'll explain more as we go through. Some of you may say, hey, we really need to go and find another church where it's a more traditional building, and that's okay. I just want you to hear that. That's okay. We're not trying to hold on to anybody. We're going to be making a shift back to the roots of what we said we wanted to plant when we moved here. When we established the church in 2012, and then in a living room, and then formally launched the church in October 2013, We are making the moves to get back to what we knew that God was calling this church family to be and to build in Spokane. But to do that well, we have to make a shift. And I'm going to read a couple of passages of scripture as we move on. This is not a continuation of our Mark series. If you came in thinking, okay, we're starting Mark chapter 4 today, you're actually right. We are going to start Mark chapter 4 today. But this isn't really part of the Mark series. This is called Unless a Seed Dies. How's that for a heavy one, huh? Unless a seed dies. Mark chapter 4, we're going to read. We're actually going to read the first 20 verses. And then we're also going to read from John chapter 12, 24 through 26. This is Jesus teaching beside the sea. Again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables, and in his teaching he said to them, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And I love what comes next, because the followers of Jesus are just real dudes. When he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. That's like, Jesus, what do you mean? You ever feel like that? You read something and you hear something, a word from the Lord. You're like, wait, what do you actually mean? Everyone else is like nodding, you know, maybe the chin thing, like the finger on the chin. Like, yes, that's very wise. Very good. And you're going, Wait, Jesus, hands up. What? You ever feel like that? I felt like that sometimes. They ask him about the parables, and he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?" And then he explains it. Thank you, Jesus. The sower sows the word. And these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan, that's the accuser, the adversary, immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And then reading from John 12, 24 through 26. Truly, truly, says Jesus, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. And just in context there, Jesus has actually been talking about his own death, the approaching death that he is himself is going to die for the sins of all those who would believe for all time, all generations. He says, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, then it bears much fruit. We came to Spokane in 2012. We moved here in 2012 with a vision that had been birthed in 2010. And I'm going to read some from my notes today because I wrote some pretty specific things down. A vision of planting a reproducing church in this city that is grace-saturated, Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, multicultural, serving and enjoying Spokane, and partnering with other like-hearted churches to serve beyond Spokane too. We had a vision of many who would gather from various walks of life. And this is right in our vision and values booklet. It says, what would it look like for many men and women, young and old, to come from a place of distress into delight and dignity, from debt to deliverance, from discontentment to becoming deeply satisfied and influential people? Can you imagine it? This is what we see. And I just want to say, this is still what we see. This is still why God brought us to Spokane. And this is still what we are intent on and set on establishing in Spokane. We've cast this vision. You've heard me, if you've hung out with me at all, we've cast the vision of a people doing this, glorifying God as we enjoy and serve him, as we enjoy and serve each other, as we enjoy and serve our city, and as we enjoy and serve the nations. That's what the foundation of our church. If you look on our website, if you look places, glorifying God as we enjoy and serve him, each other, our city, and the nation of the world. We've sown this vision in seed form to one another, to our friends, and into the lives of many people, some who've come and gone and moved on, but we've had the chance to sow that seed and invest that seed of a church that's multiplying, a church that's full of life, full of grace, full of the Spirit, welcoming the many nations that make up our nation, and serving and blessing the nations of the world. But along the way, we've kind of slipped into the traditional rut of what does church look like? Well, it looks like gathering in a building on a Sunday morning, you know, however many songs it is, and some announcements and a message, and we go home, and you know, we give in the offering, and that's what church looks like. Now, I know that for you guys that are here, we've talked about this. I know in your hearts, you go, no, we know that is not church. And what I am promising you today is that that is not what we're going to build. The Sunday morning church experience, that's one slice of the pie. of your life. And what God has called us to is life together. Now, I don't mean we're all selling all our homes and moving in, we're buying a ranch out somewhere and we're becoming a little cult and we all move in and we have our little garden that we hoe together and that would be fun. Maybe let's go camping. What we know that the life of the church is meant to be is a life of friends caught up on mission together, sowing into one another's lives. And Jesus says, the world is going to know that you're my disciples by your love for one another, not because you have a slick Sunday morning meeting. The slick Sunday morning, which if you know anything about what slick can look like on a Sunday morning, we're really not that slick. We're pretty laid back. But it's not about the kind of the Sunday show. It's about friends on mission together. Now, does that mean we won't have a Sunday meeting in the future? No, we will. We will. But it's going to be an overflow of what's happening in our friendships. Now, we've sown this vision of glorifying God as we enjoy and serve Him, each other, our city, the nations of the world. We've sown it, and we've sown it, and we've sown it. And you know what happens when you sow seed? Jesus shared the parable, right? That seed falls in different kinds of ground. And I just warn you right now, all four of those kinds of ground, we all have areas in our lives where we're that kind of ground. That's just part of the process of growing up in God. We all have areas in our lives that are hard packed. We all have areas that are rocky or stony. We all have areas that are thorny. And we all have areas where God has been tilling and God has been preparing the soil to receive what He's doing. So, of course, as we've sowed this word and this vision, some has fallen on the hard-packed ground of well-trodden tradition. And the seed's been stolen away. Of course, some has fallen there. Of course, some has fallen on rocky ground. Hearts that they love the idea. Ooh, friends on mission together, committed to one another. More than a Sunday morning, we're really investing in each other's lives. We're serving and enjoying our city together. We love the idea. But when it gets hard and there's pushback and schedules are difficult, that area of church life, even though we get it in our heads, that area we go, boy, when it gets hard, the soil is shallow in that area and it shrivels and dies. That's part of it. Of course, some fell among thorns where the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of the riches of the American dream, the desires for other things choke out the word, and unfruitfulness is the result. Sure, some has fallen there. But more importantly, guys, some has fallen on the good soil. Those who can hear it, accept it, and bear 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. I wrote this down. I believe everyone in this room not only has a desire to be the good soil, but we're planted into the good soil of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God plants you into the soil of the gospel. There is no better ground you could be planted in than the word, the message of Jesus. That Jesus has come. The things we were saying and singing about during worship. He's come to seek and save the lost. and the broken and those who don't have it all together. Thank you, Lord. You came to seek and save us, not just the pretty people or the better people or the whatever. The soil of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which actually also happens to be the most solid rock you could stand on, is the soil where everything else about church life, everything else about how do we honor God with our lives, it all comes from that place. I believe God is tilling and fertilizing our hearts, church. I know for my own self, the last 18 months have been a time of intense, extreme rototilling of my heart. But God doesn't just rototill your heart. He tills up that ground and then he fertilizes that ground. And he sows seed into the ground of a fertilized heart. And of a heart that's been softened and broken before him. Anyone else feel like you've gone through some rototilling? In the last, you know, maybe the last 6 months, the last year, last 18 months, you know, maybe you go, John, you don't even know me. My life has been just constant rototilling for years. That is not without purpose. God has purpose in that. He doesn't break your heart to leave you broken. He tills your heart to prepare the ground for what's coming next. And if you feel like your heart's been rototilled, you feel like your heart's been just like, wow, it's like these areas that have been so hard in me. It's like God just won't leave them alone. He keeps coming after them. And it's because he loves you and he has purpose for your life. You know that song we were singing? You're a good, good father. When God talks about himself as a father, a good father who disciplines those he loves. He trains those he loves. That word for discipline, don't just think he spanks them on the butt. He trains them and he allows them to go through difficulties because he's training your life because he loves you and he's raising you up to represent him in the earth. I believe the seeds that he's been planting into rototilled hearts, he's been planting into our lives will bear excellent fruit in the days and the weeks and the months and the years ahead. For some of you, that's going to be in London for the next year. And I'm super jealous and super excited all at the same time. And not only is Joy going to London, we just found out this last week, my mom and dad, who, if you have prayed for my family, if you have prayed for my father, who's been really, really sick, and we almost lost him a year ago. Last August, we almost lost him. And the doctor said, of three people who have had your heart condition, you're the only one who I've seen survive. And that's that he had treated. People are like, this just doesn't happen to people, and people don't recover from it when it does. He survived, but it was just not the same. And he said, man, they canceled ticket. They were supposed to be in India at a Regions Beyond, our umbrella, our family of churches, at a training. My dad was supposed to be a part of that, had to cancel it. We were supposed to go to visit the UK this last year, had to cancel it. And he said, I will never leave the country again because it's very difficult for me to even fly at all. It's very difficult for me to walk up a flight of stairs. Well, in the last 2 weeks, my dad has gone from being a very sick man to a very restored man. And my mom happened to have a word of wisdom, and she read the side effects on one of the medications that the doctors put him on. She goes, this looks like you, this looks like you, this looks like you, this looks like you. And they pulled him off the meds over a, they said, don't come off this cold turkey, but let's try it. Let's pull you off slowly. All of a sudden, his energy's back. His lungs are working the way they're supposed to work. The mysterious pain in his abdomen that was very concerning, gone. The heart, the chest pressure, all these things, gone. Just from coming off of one medication that was just debilitating his life. And my mom and dad fly out on September 5th for the UK. And they will be there for 3 months, both ministering in and receiving from our Regions Beyond churches over there, and being a part. And my dad is preparing about the next phase of his life in ministry and his calling in God, where he had been saying, I'm done. So guys, there's new and exciting things happening all over the place. I'm really, really excited about what's going on. Slightly like, dang, they're going to be gone for Thanksgiving. But hey, I'm giving thanks. Anyway, my dad is alive and well and back in the saddle. So praise God for that. Yeah. We watched my dad have to transition the church that he planted and led. And we watched him have to come to a point of letting his own vision die and letting his dream die and saying, God, I have to entrust things to you. I believe it's time for the seed that we have sown with Grace Church Spokane as it has been to be sown into the ground and die. Now, that sounds like a horrible word, doesn't it? That's not the end. Semicolon. So that the fruit that God intends will not remain dormant and in seed form. I believe it's time for us to allow God to bring, I don't know how else to say this, our seed vision. The vision that we've been speaking and planting as seeds into lives of this is what this should look like. This is what we feel like God's calling us to do. Let that seed vision be planted into the ground. Let God bring it to the death it needs to die. And here's what I mean by that. For our own self-confidence and our own abilities to fall to its knees. For our own self-reliance to come to its rightful end. For my own self-sufficiency to fall on its knees before the Father. Without whom I and we all know this, can accomplish nothing of lasting value. Jesus knew that about himself. Apart from the Father, he could do nothing. Now, does that mean there's something wrong with the vision? Does that mean there's something wrong with what we've been speaking and what God's called us here to do? Absolutely not. Although, we would be super arrogant to say that there aren't adjustments that need to be made. Like, of course there's adjustments that can be made. But even the best seeds will not bear fruit. They will not bear their intended fruit until they first die. I believe we could see some fruit if we just keep doing what we're doing. But I think God wants to believe radical change, wants to bring, radical change, that the death of a seed and the resurrection of a seed, the resurrection of the vision of Grace Church Spokane, is the right way forward. Death and resurrection is the foundation of the Christian life. That is the foundation. Without Jesus' death, there would have been no resurrection. Without Jesus' death, we would be stuck in our sins. We would be stuck trying to fulfill something of the law to gain our approval with God. But because of his death, because he paid the price, he went to the cross for us, because he carried your sin, he carried your fault, he carried your weakness, he carried that. And he took the full wrath of God, and that God took the full wrath of God upon himself. So that wrath did not have to fall on you. He took that wrath upon himself so that the blessing and favor of God could fall on you. And he proved that what he was saying he was going to do was true. That who he said he was, he really was. He proved it, not by dying on a cross, although it did fulfill a lot of prophecy. He proved it by rising again from the dead. I fully believe that as we're obedient to God in planting the seed into the ground, trusting that he has planted the seed into the ground, that he is fully capable, and I believe fully intending, to raise the seed to new life and to fresh life. So today, Grace Church Spokane, as it has been, it's like a celebration of life, is celebrated and remembered. We've had some really good times. We've laughed. We've splashed in Randy's pool and the lake and the other lake. We've had some great, great times. I think of guys' nights at Brent's house, and we've had some blasts. And you know what? The hard times have given us grit. There's a grit in you people. There is a grit in you that doesn't come any other way than through difficulty. And for some of you who this might not be your church home in the future, you carry that grit with you. Because God has planted something into you. And you carry a dream in you of what the church could look like. You carry that. And that seed is going with you wherever you go. I know that. And I am thrilled with that. The hard times have given us grit and powerful stories and a really colorful testimony. I have got stories to tell. And I know we are carrying a lot of future churches in our hearts. And one of the things as we're in the short term bringing this to death, and I want to emphasize, this is a death with a resurrection coming. I believe part of the fruit of that will be many churches planted and sent, many released, many going into our own city, many going to the nations. I still believe that. I still believe in the call of why God brought us here and what he brought us here to build. But I have stories to talk to, or stories to tell to young church planters that I didn't have to tell before the hard times. I have stories of how you get through when people let you down, when you let other people down, when people fill in the blank. How do you do that, young church planter? How do you get through that? How do you find your hope and your confidence in God rather than in your success? We're carrying many churches and cities and towns and nations in our heart. And this little group sitting in New Vision Lutheran Church's building, which they've so graciously allowed to be our building as well, this little group, you carry a vision of God. You carry a mission of God in your hearts. And as we submit ourselves together to the planting of the Lord, watch out. And I mean that in the best way possible. Watch out. Because you ain't seen nothing yet. Now, Jesus basically said that to his disciples when he was going to the cross. And you know what? They didn't get it. They didn't understand it. And the death wasn't fun. And I understand that even right now for us, the season of the plant the seed in the ground, let it die. There's no way to make that part fun. I'm just saying, I believe in what's coming. And if we can trust what's coming, it's going to give us hope. It's going to give us the confidence, the security, not in us, but in Christ that we need. We all need. Joy needs really great confidence and security in Christ as she gets on that plane and flies off to a place that I was going to say you've never been, but that's not true anymore because she did go visit. She's heading in to an adventure and a challenge. And your confidence needs to be in Christ. More so than it is in Hope Church. More so than it is in the great leaders. I love those leaders. They are fantastic, amazing, wonderful people. But their foundation and their confidence is in Jesus as well. That's where it's got to be. So today we allow the seed to die, trusting God to breathe resurrection life into the vision that he has for our future. I'm just reading my notes now. For some, that will be in other churches. And praise God, we are a part of the broader family of God. We said from day one, God's been on the move in the great city of Spokane long before we got here. And he's going to be on the move in our city long after we're all have gone on to be with the Lord. And we're a part of a much bigger team, much bigger family, and we're going to bless and release you guys to fit where you fit and serve where you want to serve. For Joy, that means a year of adventure and challenge and growth and learning how to speak English. We joke about the United States and Great Britain being two nations separated by a common language. Because the same words over here mean something completely different over there. And you're just being completely innocent over here. And you're actually speaking profanity over there. And the same is true when they come over here. And they're just being completely innocent. And we're all going, oh, you just said that right out loud. That's going to be fun. You get to learn to speak proper English, which I can't do. And they all say, you sound like you're trying to speak English from Mary Poppins. So, okay. For some, guys, for some, that may mean gathering with us in the near future to water the seed that God has planted in our hearts together. And the fruit will come. And the invitation is there to do that. And what would a message from John be like to close things out? Without a quote from Bilbo Baggins. Lord of the Rings, right? Because I am a nerd. Loud and proud nerd. Bilbo says to his nephew Frodo, "It's a dangerous business, Frodo, going out your door." I just want to say that as we even go out that door today. It's a dangerous business, Frodo. I'm not going to try and do the accent. Going out your door. You step onto the road, and if you don't keep your feet, there's no knowing where you might be swept off to. There's adventure ahead for us, for all of us. But today, we entrust one another into the purposes of God. We trust his sovereign hand to lead us and guide us and plant us where we belong. We trust the power of the gospel to not only save us, but to keep and preserve us until we all stand together as one before the throne of God, declaring the praises of Jesus together forever. And I knew this would be hard for me to say. And I still have to pray when I say it. But today, I personally bless and release every one of you into the favor and the hand and the will and the fields of God. Whether that means you're alongside us or alongside other brothers and sisters and other fantastic churches in this city. But I want you to hear it. You go with the blessing. You go with the full release and the favor. Not only of your Heavenly Father, but I just want you to hear that from me. If when we come back together in my living room and we begin to rebuild and we begin to cast and shape and mold, this is what this is going to look like. And you say, I can't do that. I don't have faith for that. You have not failed us. You're sitting here today because you love Jesus and you love his people. You have not failed us. You are released and blessed to run the course that God has for you. Run it well. That's the only thing I would ask. Run it well. And we're gonna awkwardly take a couple of Sundays, at least a couple of Sundays, where we go, we're not going to meet formally. And we're going to let this die. We need to let that seed go into the ground. And not just dig it back up. Let God plant it. What I'm not saying is that we're not going to talk to you. And you can't talk to us. And we can't hang out. And we can't barbecue. And we can't have fun. And I mean, we're already talking about hanging out sometime this weekend. How can we figure it out to get together over the holiday weekend and just have fun together? We can still get together and pray for one another. In fact, we should. That's part of being friends in the kingdom of God, is praying for one another. But we're going to let the structure of the church come to a death. Let the baggage die with it. Let the old die with it, so that what comes new is new and healthy and good. So, I don't want to belabor the point any longer than I already have. I just want to pray for you guys. And we're going to pray for Joy and send her off well. But we're going to do that in just a minute. But first, I just want to pray for the church. Lord, I want to thank you for what you've done. I want to thank you for the friendships. I want to thank you for those we've gotten to pray with. Those that have surrendered their lives to you. Those that have enjoyed the fresh filling of the Spirit. Those that have learned. I want to thank you for just so many experiences, so many joys together, tears together. And thank you for what you've done. And Lord, I pray for this church family. Your kingdom purpose. I pray for your hand of guidance. I pray for your best and nothing less. for every family, every individual. Those returning to other churches that were here on loan to be a blessing to us. Thank you for the blessing, Lord. Thank you for the way you have blessed this church body with every family that has invested here. And Lord, as we bring what has been to a close, to an end, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for these wonderful people. And I thank you for the fresh commissioning that will be on each and every life, each and every heart, each and every family here to run with the purpose of God. And so, Lord, before you and before these people, I just surrender them to you.